Lecture 1, Preferences. Our economic agent will soon be advancing to the stage of economic models. Which of his characteristics will we be specifying in order to get him ready? We might have thought name, age, gender, personal history, cognitive abilities and knowledge, probably his mental state. However, in most of economic theory, we specify an economic agent only by his attitude toward the elements in some relevant set, and usually we assume that his attitude is expressed in the form of preferences. We begin the course with a modeling exercise. We seek to develop a proper formalization of the concept of preferences. Although we are on our way to constructing a model of rational choice, we'll think about the concept of preferences here independently of choice. This is quite natural. We often use the concept of preferences not in the context of choice. For example, we talk about an individual's tastes over the painting of the masters, even if he never makes a decision based on those preferences. We refer to the preferences of an agent were he to arrive tomorrow on Mars or travel back in time and become King David, even if he does not believe in the supernatural. So imagine you want to fully describe the preferences of an agent towards the element in a given set X, capital X. For example, imagine that you want to describe your own attitude toward the universities you apply to before finding out to which of them you have been admitted. What must be the description include? What conditions must the description fulfill? We take the approach that the description of preferences should fully specify the attitude of the agents towards each pair of elements in X. For each pair of alternatives, it should provide an answer to the question of how the agent compares the two alternatives. We present two versions of this question. For each version, we formulate the consistency requirements necessary to make the responses preferences and examine the connection between the two formalizations. Let's start with the questionnaire Q. Let us think about the preferences on a set X as answers to a long and boring questionnaire Q that consists of all quiz questions of the following type. QXY. QXY defined for all distinct X and Y in the set X, in the grand set X. How do you compare X and Y? Tick one and only one of the following three options. That's the question. And the three options are, I prefer X to Y. This answer is denoted as X, the symbol preferred to Y. Option 2, I prefer Y to X. This answer is denoted by Y is preferred to X. And finally, option 3, I'm indifferent. This answer is denoted by I for indifference. A legal answer to the questionnaire Q is a response in which exactly one of the boxes is ticked in each question. We don't allow refraining from answering a question or ticking more than one answer. Furthermore, by allowing only the above three options, we exclude responses that demonstrate a lack of ability to compare, such as they are incomparable, I don't know what X is, I have no opinion, I prefer both X over Y and Y over X. We exclude a dependence on other factors, such as it depends on what my parents think, it depends on the circumstances, sometimes I prefer X, but usually I prefer Y. And we exclude, most importantly, intensity of preferences. So responses such as, I somewhat prefer X over Y, or I love X and I hate Y. All those responses are excluded by our definition. The constraints that we place on the legal responses of the agents constitute our implicit assumptions. Particularly important are the assumption that the elements in the set X are all comparable and the fact that we ignore the intensity of preferences. Legal answer to the questionnaire can be formulated as a function f, which assigns to any set, to any pair XY of distinct elements in X exactly one of the three values X is preferred Y, or Y is preferred on X, or I, with the interpretation that fxy is the answer to the question qxy. Alternatively, we can use the notation of the soccer betting industry and say that fxy must be 1, 2, or x, with the interpretation that fxy equal 1 means that x is preferred to y, fxy equal 2 means that y is preferred to x, and fx1 equal to x means indifference. Not all legal answers to the questionnaire Q qualify as preferences over the set X. We'll adopt two consistency restrictions. First, the answer to QXY must be identical to the answer to QYX. In other words, we want to exclude the common framing effect by which people who are asked to compare two alternatives tend to prefer the first one. Second, we require that the answer to QXY and QYZ are consistent with the answer to QXZ. In the following sense, if the answers to the two questions QXY and QYZ are X is preferred to Y and Y is preferred to Z, then the answer to the question QXZ must be X is preferred to Z. If the answers to the first two questions QXY and QYZ are indifference, then so is the answer to QXZ. To summarize, here is my favorite formalization of the notion of preferences. Definition 1. Preferences on a set X are a function f that assigns to any pair xy of distinct elements in X exactly one of the three values x is preferred to y is preferred to x, or I, so that for any three different elements x, y, and z in X, the following two properties hold. The first property is called no order effect, fxy equal to fyx. The second is called transitivity, and it contains two parts. Part 1, if fxy is equal to x is preferred to y, and fyz is equal to y is preferred to z, then fxz equal to x is preferred to z. And the second part, if fxy equal I, and fyz equal I, then fxz equal I as well. Note again that I, X is preferred to Y and Y is preferred to X are merely symbols representing verbal answers. Needless to say, the choice of symbols is not an arbitrary one. By the way, why do I use the notation I and not X is preferred to Y? That's a question for you to think about. Some discussion of transitivity. Transitivity is an appealing property of preferences. How would you react if somebody told you he prefers X to Y, Y to Z, and Z to X? You would probably feel that his answers are confused. Furthermore, it seems that when confronted with an intransitivity in their responses, people are embarrassed and want to change their answers. On some occasions before giving the lecture, I ask students to fill out a questionnaire similar to a questionnaire Q regarding a set X that contains 9 alternatives, each specifying the following 4 characteristics of a travel package: location, which could be Paris or Rome, price, quality of the food, measured by Zagat ranking, and the quality of the lodgings. The questionnaires included only 36 questions and not 72, since for each pair of alternatives XY, only one of the questions QXY or QYX was randomly selected to appear in the questionnaire. Thus, the dependence on order of individual's response was not checked within the experimental framework. Out of 458 students who responded to the questionnaire, only 57, namely 12%, had no intransitivities in their answers, and the median number of triples in which intransitivity existed was 7. Many of the violations of transitivity involved two alternatives that were actually the same, but differed in the order in which the characteristics appeared in the description. The alternatives were a weekend in Paris at a 4-star hotel and food quality Zagat 17 for $574, and the second one was a weekend in Paris for $574 with food quality Zagat 17 at a 4-star hotel. All students expressed indifference between the two alternatives, but in a comparison of these two alternatives to a third alternative, which was a weekend in Rome at a 5-star hotel with food quality Zagat 18 for $612, a quarter of the students gave responses that violated transitivity. In spite of the appeal of the transitivity requirement, note that when we assume that the attitude of an individual towards pairs of alternatives is transitive, we are excluded excluding individuals who base their judgments on procedures that cause systematic violations of transitivity. Here are two examples. The first one, in some cases, an individual's attitude is derived from the aggregation of more basic considerations. Consider, for example, a case where X is contains the alternatives A, B, and C, and the individual has three primitive considerations in mind, 1, 2, and 3. The individual finds an alternative X better than Y if a majority of considerations supports X. This aggregation process can yield intransitivities. For example, if the three considerations rank the alternatives as the first one A, B, C, the second one B, C, A, the third one, CAB, then the individual determines A to be preferred over B, B over C, and C over A, violating transitivity. Second example, in some cases, an individual may express indifference in a comparison between two elements that are too close to be distinguishable. For example, let X be the set of real numbers. Consider an individual whose attitude towards the alternatives is the larger the better. However, he finds it impossible to determine whether A is greater than B unless the difference is at least one. Such an individual will assign X is preferred to Y only if X is greater or equal Y plus one. And he will assign to the pair XY the value I in difference if the difference, the absolute value of the difference between X and Y is strictly less than one. This is not a preference relation because, for example, 1.5 is indifferent to 0.8, 0.8 is indifferent to 0.3, but it's not true that 1.5 is indifferent to 0.3. A comment. Did we require too little? Another potential criticism of our definition is that our assumptions might have been too weak and that we did not impose some reasonable further restrictions on the concept of preferences. That is, there could be some other similar consistency requirements which we may want to impose on the legal response to qualify it as a description of preferences. For example, such a requirement could be that if we assign to the pair XY the value X is preferred to Y and to the pair YZ the value I, we would naturally expect that FXZ equal to X preferred to Z. However, this additional consistency condition was not included in the above definition, and the reason is that it follows from the other conditions. Why? Assume that FXZ equal I. Then by the assumption that FYZ equal I, and by the no order effect, it follows that FZY equal to I, and thus by transitivity FXY is equal to I, which is a contradiction to the assumption that FXY equal to X preferred to Y. Alternatively, if FXZ equal to Z preferred to IX, then by the no order effect, FZX equal to Z is preferred to X as well, and by the assumption that FXY equal to X is preferred to Y, and transitivity, we get to the contradiction that FZY equal to Z preferred to Y. Similarly, note that for any preferences F, we have that if FXY equal I and FYZ equal to Y preferred to Z, then it must be that FXZ equal to X preferred to Z. The questionnaire R. A second way to think about preferences is through an imaginary questionnaire R consisting of all questions of the following type. RXY is a question defined for all X and Y, not necessarily distinct. The question RXY is X at least as preferred as Y? Tick one and only one of the following two options, yes or no. By legal response, we mean here that the respondent ticks exactly one of the boxes in each question. To qualify as preferences, a legal response must also satisfy two conditions. One, the answer to at least one of the questions, RXY or RYX, namely, is X at least as good as preferred to as Y, and is Y at least as preferred to X, must be yes. In particular, the silly question RXX that appears in the questionnaire as well must get a yes response. Condition 2, for every X and Y, X, Y and Z in X, if the answers to the questions RXY and RYZ are yes, then so is the answer to the question RXZ. We identify response to this questionnaire with the binary relation as preferred as on the set X, defined by X is as preferred to Y if the answer to the question RXY is yes. Let me just remind you, an Unary relation on X is a subset of X to the power N, or the product of X by itself N times. Example, being a parent of is a binary relation on the set of human beings. Being a hat is an Unary relation on the set of objects. X plus Y equals Z is a three-ary relation on the set of numbers. X is better than Y more than X prime is better than Y prime is a four-ary relation on the set of alternatives, etc. An ary relation on X can be thought of as a response to a questionnaire regarding all n tuples of elements of X, where each question can get only a yes or no answer. This brings us to the traditional definition of preferences. Definition 2, preferences on a set X is a binary relation, at least as preferred as on X, satisfying completeness for any X, Y in X. Either X is at least as good as Y, or Y is at least as good as X. Transitivity for any X, Y, Z in X. If X is at least as good as Y, and Y is at least as good as Z, then X is at least as good as a Z. The equivalence of the two definitions. We now discuss the sense in which the two definitions of preferences on the set X are equivalent. But first, it is useful to recall the following definitions. A function f from X to Y is a one-to-one function or injection if fx equal to fy implies that x equal to y. The function f from X to Y is an onto function if for every y in y there is an x in x such that fx equal y. The function from f from x to y is a one-to-one and onto function, or bijection, or one-to-one correspondence, if for every y in y there is a unique x in x such that fx equal to y. When we think about the equivalence of two definitions in economics, we are thinking about much more than the existence of a one-to-one correspondence. The correspondence also has to preserve the interpretation. That's what is special about economics. Note the similarity to the notion of isomorphism in mathematics, where correspondence has to preserve structure. For example, an isomorphism between two topological spaces X and Y is a one-to-one function from X onto Y that is required to preserve the open sets. In economics, the analog to structure is the less formal notion of interpretation. We now construct a one-to-one and onto function named translation between answers to Q that qualify as preferences by the first definition and answers to R that qualify as preferences by the second definition, such that the correspondence preserves the meaning of the responses to the two questionnaires. To illustrate, imagine that you have two books. Each page in the first book is a response to the questionnaire Q that qualifies as preferences by the first definition. Each page in the second book is a response to the questionnaire R that qualifies as preferences by the second definition. The correspondence matches each page in the first book with a unique page in the second book, so that a reasonable person will recognize that the different responses to the two questionnaires reflect the same mental attitudes towards the alternatives. Since we assume that the answers to all questions of the type RXX are yes, the classification of a response to R as preferences requires only the specification of the answers to questions of the type RXY where X is not equal to Y. Table 1.1 presents a translation of responses. In the table, two columns. Column 1, a response to QXY and QYX. Column 2, a response to RXY and RYX. The translation, X is preferred to Y in Q, is translated in R to yes to RXY and no to RYX. The response I in Q is translated into yes and yes to both questions RXY and RYX. The response Y is preferred to X is translated into no and yes, no to RXY and yes to RYX. The end of table 1.1. This translation preserves the interpretation we have given to the responses. That is, if the response to the questionnaire Q exhibits that I prefer X to Y, then the translation to a response to the questionnaire R contains the statement, I find X to be at least as good as Y, but I don't find Y to be at least as good as X, and thus exhibits the same meaning. Similarly, the translation of response to Q that exhibits I'm indifferent between X and Y is translated into a response to R that contains the statement I find X to be at least as good as Y and I find Y to be at least as good as X and thus exhibits the same meaning. The following observations provide the proof that the function translation that we have just defined is indeed a one-to-one correspondence between the set of preferences as given by definition 1 and the set of preferences as given by definition 2. First, by the assumption on Q of a no-order effect, for any two alternatives X and Y, one and only one of the following three answers could have been received for both questions QXY and QYX. Either X is preferred to Y or I, or Y is preferred to X. Thus, the responses to RXY and RYX are well defined. Next, we verify the response to R that we have constructed with the table is indeed a preference relation by the second definition. We have to check first completeness and then transitivity. Completeness, in each of the three rows, the answers to at least one of the questions, RXY and RYX, is affirmative. Transitivity. Assume that the answers to RXY and RYZ are affirmative. This implies that the answer to QXY is either X is preferred to Y or I, and the answer to QYZ is either Y preferred to Z or I. Transitivity of Q implies that the answer to QXZ must be X is preferred to Z or I, and therefore the answer to RXZ must be affirmative. To see the translation is indeed a one-to-one course function, note that for any two different responses to the questionnaire Q, there must be a question QXY for which the responses differ. Therefore, the corresponding responses to either RXY or RYX must differ. It remains to be shown that the range of the translation function includes all possible preferences as defined by the second definition. Let the relation, at least as good, be preferences in the traditional sense, namely response to R. We have to specify a function f, which is a response to Q, which is converted by translation into the binary relation, at least as good, that we started from. Read from right to left, the table provides us with such a function f. By the completeness of the binary relation is at least as good as for any two elements X and Y, one of the entries in the right hand column is applicable. The fourth option, that the answers to RXY and RYX are no, is excluded. And thus, the response to Q is well defined and by definition satisfies no other effect. We still have to check that F satisfies the transitivity condition. If FXY is equal to X is preferred to Y and FYZ is Y is preferred to Z, then X is at least as good as Y and not Y is at least as good as X and Y is at least as good as Z and not Z is at least as good as Y. By transitivity of the at least as good, X is preferred to Z. In addition, not Z is preferred to X, since if Z is preferred to X, then the transitivity of the relation at least as good would imply that Z is preferred to Y. Similarly, if fxy is I and fyz is I, then x is at least as good as y is at least as good as x, y is at least as good as z, and z is at least as good as y. By the relativity of the relation at least as good, both x is at least as good as z, and z is at least as good as x, and thus fxz equal to I. Summary. I could have replaced the entire lecture with the following two sentences. Preferences on X are a binary relation, at least as good as, on a set X, satisfying completeness and transitivity. Notate X strictly is better than Y when both X is at least as good as Y and not Y is at least as good as X. And notate X is a different Y when X is at least as good as Y and Y is at least as good as X. However, the role of the chapter was not just to introduce a formal definition of preferences, but also to conduct a modeling exercise and to make two methodological points. One, when we introduce two formalizations of the same verbal concept, we have to make sure that they indeed carry the same meaning. Two, when we construct a formal concept, we make assumptions beyond those explicitly mentioned. Being aware of the implicit assumptions is important for understanding the concept and is useful in coming up with ideas for alternative formalizations.